You're listening to Around Comics, a conversation with Rick Remender. From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here. We've got a special midweek episode lined up for you today. Rick Remender is a longtime friend of the show and has been on multiple times to talk about all of his projects from different publishers like Image and Dark Horse and DC and now Marvel, stuff dating back to Blackheart Billy and Strange Girl, Nightmare, Triple X Zombies, of course Fear Agent, which is one of my favorite series. Rick is one of the most prolific creators in comics. He's worked as an inker, penciler, and most of us know him as a writer today. He jumps across genres and is really kind of known for high concept stuff with this fun rebellious attitude. Well, his new project, The Last Days of American Crime, is coming out from Radical Comics, and it's something a little bit different for Rick. It's more of a hard-boiled crime story, but there is, as we find out in the upcoming interview, a nice Rick Remender twist. And I guess the thing to do is let Rick tell you all about that. Without further ado, Around Comics is happy to present my conversation with Rick Remender. And we are joined by Mr. Rick Remender. Rick, how you doing?
Hey, Chris. How you doing? I'm good.
All right. Just trying to survive the holidays here. And speaking of, happy holidays to you and yours.
Yeah, what kind of holidays? Kwanzaa, just say Kwanzaa. Just get it out, right?
What is it? The Merry Hanukkah, Kwanzaa,
Christmas. Yeah. Why do you
Festivus?
Have to war on Christmas, man? Don't you know that that Christmas is America, and that if you don't like Christmas, you're not American?
Well, see, I stopped, you know, I do the happy holidays thing, but, you know, a couple of years ago, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to wish people a Merry Christmas. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's funny because I made up my mind up a couple of years ago to, what I do is just say, fuck you. Happy fuck you. Yeah.
It's, you know, you've always been good at ingratiating yourself to people. You know, some of our newer listeners may not realize this, but we have a disclaimer at the end of the show, and opinions of guests of the show may not necessarily reflect the opinions of Around Comics. We behind the scenes, we call that the Remender disclaimer. True story.
You guys are all,
oh boy,
frightened. you guys should get on a trolley and get behind what I'm saying, because it's the next step.
You know,
I am human evolution. I'm happening right in front of you.
You always say it as you mean it, and you never dance around stuff. And that's one of the things we've always enjoyed about whenever we talk with you. And you know, it's kind of running down before we started the interview. I was running down some of the projects that you've worked on since we first started talking with you, which, gosh, you know, Rick, we've been doing this for almost 5 years now, and you were one of our first guests, so it's, we've seen you go from Strange Girl and Nightmare and Sea of Red, and then, of course, Fear Agent, and now you're doing stuff at Marvel, and it's been really a lot of fun to see your career progress and move along, and as I was kind of going through all those projects, I mean, you've done like big sci-fi action and, you know, westerns and comedy and political commentary and horror, and you've done all of these different genres. And there was one I was like, well, you know, he hasn't really done a hard-boiled crime book yet. And well, lo and behold, coming out today at your local comic book shop is The Last Days of American Crime. So are you just at a point where you just have to cover every genre? It's like Pokemon for writing for
right
you?
Right, yeah. I gotta have them all. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, I would, I could just sit here and listen to you tell me about how interesting my career
has
been.
How awesome you are.
That was great. Yeah, you know, I have creative ADD. I like all sorts of stuff and all kinds of pulp, you know, pop, pulpy goodness. I find I am always looking for the next thing and what's going to keep me interested. And then to deconstruct how it's been done in the past and how the, you know, pick a few best examples of it, sort of study it and then try to infuse it with something else or, you know, and bring in some of my own sensibilities. And it's made it very enjoyable for me, you know, working on things, like you said, all over the spectrum like that. It keeps things exciting and I never find myself bored. And I'm also very fortunate that I get to work with artists that are stone cold scientific geniuses.
Yeah, yeah. You've had a pretty awesome list of guys. It's nice to see you be able to keep working with Tony over at Marvel with and Jerome, obviously. But tell us about your artist on Last Days, Greg Tocchini.
Yeah, I believe it's pronounced Tocchini.
Tocchini, okay.
Yeah, Greg. When you know, I think that. You know, if I can do some self-aggrandizing here, I know that people love to hear somebody else talk about themselves in grand terms and talk about how good things are about them. So I'm going to do that. But to be a little self-aggrandizing, one of the reasons that I have been fortunate enough to work with such a slew of talented guys is that I myself am an artist and have an eye for artists. I've never really spent my time, you know, hoping to go out and find, you know, and convince Jim Lee he needs to draw something I write or find some big name, you know, previously established artist, because I know for a fact there are so many brilliant artists out there that are just as good that just don't have the same name. And I would much rather find somebody who is of the same caliber, but doesn't have name recognition or value and work with them. And I've always done that. And in terms of Greg, when I had this opportunity at Radical, I knew we were going to get an A-list cover artist in Alex Maleev. I really wanted to find somebody who could match that quality that Alex was going to bring, and bring the cinematic feel that the thing needed, and could do all of the art. I liked the idea of finding somebody who was one of the guys who had, you know, basically who had studied the color end of things as well. I had hunted high and low for a few weeks looking for the right guy for this, and it wasn't until I approached Rafael Albuquerque. He and I have been looking for a project to do together for a long time, and he was booked up, but he said that he had a couple guys, and Greg was one of them. He sent me a website to Greg's website, and I dug through it. And Greg had done miscellaneous things at DC and Marvel and scattered projects here and there. And you could see that, you know, he was amazing, really, really super talented. And then looking at his own personal work on his blog, you could see that he'd never really had an opportunity to let himself loose and to go nuts on pages for something that he had been hired work for hire. And so on Last Days of American Crime, part of getting him on the book to me was to also let him have, you know, free rein and time to do what he's capable of doing on the pages, and he really has. The guy is A-list. He's amazing.
It's a beautiful looking book. What I saw in the preview. It's funny you said Rafael Albuquerque. I thought you were going to say that he was your first choice for the book. And I actually just bought a page of his from the Little Leaguers from the Superman Batman. And so in my mind, I'm like, oh, that would have been weird.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I actually did approach Rafael about
really?
It.
He
and I have a creator-owned thing we've been working on together forever. And but at the time, anyway, he was too busy, and it worked out great. You know, I still hope to work with Rafael at some point in the future on something.
Oh, he's fantastic.
You know, at this point, yeah, getting to work with Greg on this, Greg and I are already talking about our next project together. We're having a really great time on the collaboration.
You mentioned the Alex Maleev cover. And and I've got the actually picked up the preview in my local comic shop. So Radical's gotten behind this, and so they sent out previews for comic shops and out to podcasters and press and all that good stuff. And the Maliv cover on that is fantastic. I mean, I love Alex's sequential stuff, you know, the Daredevil stuff that he did with Bendis. But I mean, these covers have like this, you know, updated but still holding on to that pulpy feel of stuff. It's some really gorgeous stuff. So
it's very inspired by Robert McGinnis and a lot of the old pulp painters, and it was something that Alex and I spoke about when we started this, is that was the inspiration, and that was sort of tonally and aesthetically what we wanted to go for, and it got him really excited, you know, and it shows in those covers. All, you know, all three covers, each one is equally amazing, and he really dumped a lot of love into them. So we were really lucky, and then to open it up and see something of an equal caliber in Greg Tocchini's work, you know, and to get 60 pages full up for $5. I mean, it's almost like getting a trade paperback. I'm hoping that, you know, people will give the thing a shot, because it's I'm damn proud of the story, and Greg's killed it, and the art is sharp, and the thing is just a huge package for $5.
Well, it's interesting for folks, because it's coming out from Radical Comics, which is a relatively new publisher. Actually, best new publisher of 2008. I think they got that distinction. And it's a company that has a lot of really well-known names and really high quality product. I think that some readers are still kind of getting used to Radical as a name out there. But I was going to ask you, did you approach Radical about doing this project, or did they come to you?
They had Barry had been speaking with a friend of mine, Steve Niles, and Niles put us together and chatted. And I knew that to do Last Days of American Crime the way I wanted to, originally it was something that going way back, Jerome Pena and I had been working together on. And I knew that I needed, you know, somebody of that caliber. I knew I needed a publisher to get behind it. I knew I needed, in order to make a crime book work in this industry, you know, it not only needed to just be a rock solid, amazing story or the best that I'm capable of, but it needed artwork that blew people's faces off. I was really glad when I talked to Barry, and, you know, he felt the same way about it. Like, if you do other genre, you have to make it of such a quality that you draw those people over and blow them away with it, and so they have to buy it, or else it just withers and dies.
Well, take this as a compliment. I read the preview of it, and right off the bat, it reminded me of Criminal, which, you know, that's a big compliment, because I think that is an outstanding hard-boiled crime book.
Is it like Criminal because that's the only other crime book you recently read? I love Ed Stuff, and I love Sean Phillips, and, you know, I like Criminal, but I don't, I mean, and, you know, Ed's a tremendous writer, and I mean that. Yeah, he's one of the guys who's Captain America and Criminal, and reading Ed's work as he's been progressing, he's one of those guys who inspires you to really work harder, but I don't know if my writing style, other than the fact that it's hard-boiled crime stuff, has many, you know, what did you think that the similarities were?
Well, I just think tonally, obviously, it is
right.
In tone, it felt like that. Greg's art and Sean Phillips, you could see, I don't want to say similarities, but once again, it's more of just a tone, atmosphere of the book. Now, there's some stuff that's revealed in the interview, in the preview copy that came out. There's a big twist that happens in it, and I think that's what is going to set it apart from kind of traditional.
Yeah. No, I mean, Criminal is very grounded, and rightfully so. And I know that Ed is a lot of reverence for the genre, whereas I think that I'm a bigger fan of you know, sort of twisting reality a little bit and adding a dollop of science fiction onto things. And in terms of this, I just find to give away the high concept, which is just that, you know, the idea behind the thing is that in 2 weeks, basically the Washington Post reveals, this is in the distant future, but a little bit in the future, the government is going to be broadcasting basically a mind control ray out of the radio towers across the country that will inhibit anyone's ability to do anything that they know to be illegal. Hence, ending American crime. And the fun of that being that then you've got this 2-bit grifter who has been planning a heist, and now he's only got what he thought he had months and months to plan it and finish it off. Now he's got a ticking clock, and he's only got 2 weeks to complete the thing. So the sci-fi element isn't necessarily the focus of the story, but it does mean that you've got America in chaos. Once the news of this is announced, you've got mass exodus to Mexico and Canada. You've got criminals in the streets going nuts. You've got, you know, two kinds of people. You've got people indoors pointing shotguns at the door in fear, and then you've got people rioting in the streets trying to get their yayas out.
Exactly.
Anytime you're on the street, it's dangerous, basically.
And I was, as I'm reading the preview, I'm like, oh, this is Rick doing his criminal. And then I read kind of the introduction in the interview, which breaks that down. I'm like, ah, there's Rick. That's the kind of high concept stuff that you play around with, and the little twists and changes that you put on stuff that's kind of become a trademark of the kind of stuff that you do. So whenever I read that, it's like, oh, okay, that sounds like something that Rick would do.
Right. I recognize at one point that I had done, you know, four different books in a period of a couple years, and all of them ended up in apocalypse situations or you know, the world in chaos or some sort of skewed future, between Triple X Zombies and the End League and Fear Agent, and now this and Strange Girl, where the rapture happens, you know, like, and I was like, well, I should stop doing that. But it's where my ideas kind of fall to. I like the idea of sort of investigating the big what ifs, you know, like, well, what if you did do this? And in case of Last Days of American Crime, it's an idea born in the midst of the Bush administration. Mm. And it's a question where I ask myself, well, you know, well, everybody is gleefully throwing their arms up and giving away all their personal liberties for this imagined sense of security. And I think was watching a Fleischer Superman, and there was a mind control ray or something. And I remember thinking, you know, if mind control were feasible, would people, you know, and you could turn crime off and turn terrorism off, would people say, okay, that they'll have their, you know, that they'll have their minds controlled to not break the law. And from there, I sort of developed the rest of it.
Ten years ago, you know, I would have told you no. I don't know what my answer is now, you know?
Right. Yeah. But, you know, in this case, you get to see the sort of ups and downs of it. And there's a lot of debate throughout the book about the pros and cons of this. And obviously, there's a lot of people who like the idea that, you know, once a law is made, you know, and you're made aware of that law, you can't break it. And then, obviously, you know, there's the majority of thinking people are not excited about it.
And it's all framed around a heist, which is...
And the great thing about it is initially the story was going to be focused in that, and it was going to be about a team of guys who were going to go blow up a broadcast tower, a militia, who were going to go blow up a broadcast tower in their small town so that they would have a pocket of freedom. And there's going to be a lot of that going on. But then I sort of moved away from that, and I liked it that was sort of that the API, the American Peace Initiative, this broadcast was sort of a background more than it was the focus, and the heist story became the focus, and it was really rich. It felt like it had more dimensions to it. And then, as you know, talking to Barry and the guys at Radical as we're moving forward, we're going to be doing anthologies and different Last Days of American Crime series that do take place in different places during these last 2 weeks.
You know, I was just thinking that is that you could do some world building and get different takes on what's going on around the world. So yeah, that, I mean, that opens up a huge world of possibilities to tell other stories in that same time period.
Sure. I mean, that's, you know, awesome. 300 million Americans, you know, that's waiting for a mind control, you know, broadcast to be turned on where they, you know, it'll be impossible to do anything illegal.
Yeah.
No more, no more tax evasion, no more poker games, no more marijuana, no more masturbating on the bus in front of old people.
Hey man, there's 13,000 police officers in Chicago. That's a lot of people out of work all of a sudden.
Right. Well, yeah. And then there's a lot of fun. Yeah. And we deal with that, those kind of questions sure. in the book.
Sure. Well, before we wrap up with Last Days of American Crime, is there some Hollywood buzz around the book that I had seen on prowling around the internets?
Yeah. Avatar's star Sam Worthington has signed on.
Hey,
it was we had front page on Variety last week. It was very exciting.
That's awesome. Yeah, before issue one comes out.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know, Avatar's got huge buzz, and obviously is going to. Mm-hmm. Gangbusters, and so having Sam sign on to the thing, it's amazing. And the other two actors that they're talking to right now, if it comes together the way it might, and now that Sam has signed on, it inches closer and closer to doing what it should. It's going to be a damn amazing movie, which is crazy. It's crazy to think about. And they've also hired me to write the screenplay, so I've been working on that concurrently with the comic.
Wow, I was going to ask you, is this one where you kind of, you know, because we talked to Greg Rucka on the show fairly often, and, you know, Whiteout was something that, you know, he just kind of handed over, and I think that movie was very different from his comic. So I was going to ask how involved you're going to be in actually developing the movie. And I know that you have to do things because what makes a good comic doesn't always make a very good movie. So you have to rework the script in certain ways, but you're actually involved with the screenplay, huh?
Yeah. I'm writing the first draft, and I'm fingers crossed that it'll be well enough received, that it'll be the draft that's shot from, and I'll get to do my own revisions. But who knows? You know, if they usually do these things in a couple few stages, and different people are brought in. But as of now, I'm taking the first crack at it, which is a tremendous, you know, it's a tremendous vote of confidence from the production company, you know, people and Barry and everybody at Radical, and it's crazy. It's great. it's wild. And
not bad for a guy who was animating the Iron Giant a decade or so ago.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, this was sort of all. It's been a great year, and it's easy to get sort of bogged down with the work aspect of things and not keep it in mind. But yeah, I mean, it was about 10 years ago that I left animation to do these things, to get these, you know, these ideas out of my head and onto paper and make the kind of comics I've made. And I haven't sacrificed any of the integrity of what I wanted to do. So it feels really good when I look back on, you know, Nightmare and my pile of Fear Agent books and Strange Girl and Triple X Zombies and Punisher and, you know, now this, and it's been, Blackheart Billy. I've made a lot of books that I'm incredibly proud of that. Yeah. I think fill, holes in the industry that didn't necessarily have a lot of new product being developed for.
Well, and what I like is that you're not slowing down either. It seems like you're really building on some successes here from the last couple of years. And then whenever you do get into some mainstream comics, you're not doing just the same old conventional comic. Before we wrap up, I want to talk about Punisher, because there's been plenty of, you know, little fanboyish debates on, you know, internet message boards and that kind of stuff. Some people that absolutely love what you're doing with Frankencastle, and other people that are like, oh my God, what is he doing? I can't believe he's doing this. And
right.
And so we've had these discussions, you know, amongst friends and on the show that the Punisher is a character that you can go a couple of different ways with. You can go Punisher Max, and you can do that crazy ultra-violent stuff that, you know, obviously Garth did so well and Jason Aaron is doing well. But then you bring Punisher into the 616, and you can either ground him, you know, on street level like Daredevil, or you can do wacky, crazy, out there shit, and making him a part of the Legion of Monsters is definitely in the crazy, out there shit. What possibly crept into your mind to say, you know what, we're going to take the Punisher, we're going to turn him into Frankenstein and put him in the Legion of Monsters?
Well, you know, going back to what you were saying about how, you know, I think that it still tonally has that same hyperviolence, you know, the entire arc that I've done on the Punisher so far, except instead of a grounded noirish crime world, like what Jason Aaron is currently doing on Punisher Max, Frank Castle is using PIM particles to ride in on a pizza, and once he is consumed by the enemy, explodes out of their head. It's just a different kind of imagination muscle mm-hmm. you got to mm-hmm. use for this stuff, which is good because that's what I want to be doing, and it's what I enjoy. As I progressed in the first two stories, Living in Darkness and then Dead End, Frank is up against things that even with this great armory, even being this you know, tough as nails, crazy ultra street soldier, he's up against things that are growing in the Marvel Universe as the Dark Reign was growing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always really important to me as a reader that things not A, be predictable, and B, ring true to the environment and the world that the character lives in. And as Frank has sort of got all this stuff going up against him, it was clear to me that, like, Frank had to die. Like, Frank had to die. He tried to shoot the leader of the world, basically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Norman is control so much, I think it's fair to call him that, at this point in the Marvel Universe. I think when you try to snipe a guy like that, that guy's coming back at
yeah,
you in a way
yeah.
when he controls the kind of things that he does where you don't walk away from it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the hood twists up Frank's soul, resurrects his family, and Frank immediately puts them back into the grave, which is a big deal and plays a big role in the Frankencastle arc. And then Norman and Doc can come in and kill him. And at that point, you've got options, you know. You've got Henry Russo, Jigsaw's kid, who's Frank's, you know, straight-edge cyber sensei. Mm-hmm. And you could try and, like, develop him as a younger, hipper, you know, like, the Punisher of the future, this kid who's not necessarily, like, kicking down doors and barging in, but using different methods.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a lot of different things. There's a real life, a compound called extracellular matrix, which exists. And what this stuff does is it regrows, at this point, fingers and things. You can type it into YouTube and watch a video about a guy and his finger was cut off and he used the extracellular matrix and it regrew. So now they've got real technologies being developed that'll regrow human limbs. And
mm-hmm.
I thought in terms of, do you use a Reed Richards style, you know, technology and regrow Frank? How do you put, you know, do you put it, you get all these, you know, it's so much fun at that point to think
sure.
of where you go next. And then in conversations with Jason Aaron, Matt Fraction, Tony Moore, as we had tried to develop something earlier, I had come up with this idea that all of the monsters in the Marvel Universe had moved under New York into the old Morlock tunnels into a city called Monster Metropolis in order to protect themselves from all these various monster hunters that were out there, and that they were being guarded by the Legion of Monsters. And the Legion of Monsters, though we haven't seen very much of them, have always been in the background protecting monsters and doing things in the shadows. And ultimately that series didn't come together, but I still, it hooked up this idea. And so I started thinking to myself that, you know, the great thing about the Marvel Universe is that there's, you know, 4,000 or 5,000
oh, yeah.
super-powered, magical, cosmic, super crazy characters bouncing around, and a lot of them are in New York. And if Frank Castle was killed, I think that logically, and I know that a lot of people will want to argue that, I think logically, there's going to be somebody who can reanimate corpses, because let's face it, motherfuckers be getting reanimated all the time.
Out of 5,000, someone's going to be able to do that. And you know what? It may not be our logic, but it's Marvel Universe logic. So,
which is fun,
yeah.
you know. Maybe
yeah.
the Mad Thinker is out there, and he's been having a tough time getting screwed with by somebody, and he's thinking, well, you know, I'll reanimate Frank Castle, pretty good soldier, and I'll put him to work for
mm-hmm.
me. So I started traveling down that path, which is logical in the Marvel Universe sense, like you said, it really is. And the monster idea sort of came back up to me, and I thought to myself, well, I had, you know, I really liked this idea of all the Kirby and Englehart and all these Len Wein, all these monsters and supernatural characters hiding under in the old Morlock tunnels. And if they're being hunted by monster hunters, they would definitely need Frank. And you've got Dr. Michael Morbius, and reading
Werewolf.
Yeah, I mean, and, mm-hmm. you know, and so you've got Dr. Morbius, who is familiar with Frankenstein and knows what went into bringing the Frankenstein monster back and reanimating him, And it all just kind of clicked. And, you know, the Frankencastle thing was sort of born of, A, I really find it a lot more interesting in the shared universe stuff where it's not predictable. It's not like going through the rogues gallery that we've seen a million times before. Because I don't want to reread regurgitated things. I want to read new and inventive and interesting things that still draw from that same recognizable, soup of characters.
Well, I figure we should wrap things up here, but just want to congratulate you on a great year. You had an addition to your family. You're having some fantastic success at Marvel, and it looks like The Last Days of American Crime, which comes out today. So go and pick that up, folks. It's going to be 3-issue series. And is there any idea about a trade at some point, or are you guys going to keep this in single issues?
There will be a hardcover edition next summer, and I'm not sure, you know, exactly when, but you know that we're going to just do a hardcover, a prestige edition sort of thing. I think Greg's work on this warrants it. Fear Agent Volume 5 also just came out. I hope people.
Oh, Eye Against Eye. Yep.
Eye Against Eye. Yeah, mm-hmm. The trade paperback. We were a little bit behind on that one, but it finally shipped, and. We are well underway. We're about halfway done with the final arc of that. We want to wait until we've got 4 out of those 5 issues completely finished before we even solicit, because this thing is a firecracker, and we want to make sure that it ships like clockwork.
And just tell me it's the final arc of Volume 1, because we'll see Fear Agent again.
But it's a pretty definitive. I mean, it's a pretty final story.
Yeah.
I'm not to give anything away, but it is the initial intention of the story. In Hollywood interest and you know, people's love of the book aside, the original story was written as such to end the way that it ends here. And, you know, so Tony and I have talked about it in great lengths about, you know, sticking to the integrity of the original story. We of course love the character so much that we'll be doing what we can to come back to it.
All right. And I'd say Fear Agent fans, you should probably read Punisher, because if you can't read Fear Agent every month, I think that right now Punisher is a great medicine for that, because
it's the same stuff. I mean, it's the same stuff in the Marvel universe with a different, you know, a less sympathetic character, I think.
Yeah, I think you can throw a Texas belt buckle on Frankencastle right now and have just as much fun as you did with Fear Agent, and
that means a lot. I mean, you know, from working with Jerome and Tony and Tan, and you know, I think between Lee Lowridge, Jerome Pena, and Tony Moore, every arc has had a Fear Agent artist or colorist on it. Yeah, it has. So the Fear Agent team has definitely been represented well in this new Punisher stuff, and I hope there is a crossover appeal. I'm always sort of, it seems to me that the fans of the indie stuff will try out a mainstream book, but the mainstream fans, the majority of them, get a little bit of frightened stepping out of their comfort zone. So it also goes the other way. If you're reading Punisher and you haven't read Fear Agent, you know, I still give you a money back guarantee. You go buy those first couple, 2-3 trades, and you don't like them, you come to me at a show, I'll buy them back off you.
All right, man. Well, hey, is anything else? We got you know, Fear Agent, Last Days of American Crime, Punisher Monthly, Dr. Voodoo. Definitely, we didn't talk about Dr. Voodoo, but definitely check that out. It's been a lot of fun. But is that all the hot points? It's hard keeping up with you. You always have so much stuff coming out.
Yeah, I just basically sit inside and work myself to death. I've also got this. We've got the Strange Girl hardcover limited edition slipcase that comes out, I think, the third week of January. That collects all 4 trade paperbacks of Strange Girl with a new printing of the first volume in a hardcover slipcase, and it comes with a Mike Kaluta poster signed and numbered inside.
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty excited about that. And I think that the gigantic trade paperback will ship in February, the final End League trade paperback in February as well. So couple few other creator owned things coming to an end.
Yeah, just had a new printing of Blackheart Billy, right?
We just had the new colorized at IDW, and I love getting email about Blackheart Billy. That's still one of my babies, and it, when people pick it up and see what happens when Kieran Dwyer and I are let loose.
Which I actually I just finished up reading Sea of Red, the third volume on that, which is one that I think went under a lot of people's radars. And that one, what Kieran did breakdowns on that, right?
Yep. Yeah. Kieran did a lot. Yeah. He did the breakdowns for the first arc and a half, mm-hmm. and then. He and I co-plotted the whole thing. He was basically a co-writer. I mean, we would do story stuff, and then I'd go off and write it.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, we could sit here and chit-chat about all your projects all night long, but I know it's been a long week for you, and you got lots of holiday stuff coming up, and we definitely want to wrap things up and encourage people to go pick up Last Days of American Crime tomorrow. So, man, it is always a pleasure talking with you. You know, you are welcome anytime, and you have a great rest of your holiday, or fuck you, as you would say.
Or fuck you, fuck you too, Chris.
All right, we will catch up with you soon, all right?
Yeah, dude, thank you so much.
All right, and there you go. My conversation with Rick Remender. One of our favorite guys in the industry. Always fun to talk with Rick. And definitely, whenever you head over to your local comic shop today or later on this week, definitely pick up The Last Days of American Crime. And while you're there, if you haven't tried Fear Agent, if you're liking the work that Rick and Tony Moore are doing on Punisher right now, you should definitely go back and check out their work on Fear Agent. It is one of my favorite series, and I think that you will enjoy it. So everyone have a fantastic rest of your week. This is the last episode that we'll come out with this year, actually. So have a wonderful Christmas this weekend, and a happy and, most importantly, safe New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And we'll be back right after the turn of the year with more comic book and comic culture conversation. Do want to let you know that we have the forum at Around Comics is back up and running. We missed you guys and missed conversing with people at the forum. So you can head over to aroundcomics.com and give us feedback on this and any other episode that we come out with. You can also find out information on how to follow us on Twitter or leave a voicemail for the show. You can always email the show at info@aroundcomics.com. You know, we haven't done interviews, extended interviews like this in quite a while. So give me an email. Shoot me an email at chris@aroundcomics.com. Let me know if you want to hear more creator interviews that are just one of the crew talking to a creator, and we'll release these as little supplemental episodes. It's always good to catch up with some of our favorite people like Rick and do this. But let us know what you think about it. All right, everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend, especially this Christmas weekend coming up. We'll be back again right after the first of the year. We have to figure out our schedule and look forward to getting back on a regular schedule here in 2010. In the meantime, in between time, we'll be everywhere in and around comics. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show, especially Rick Remender, are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009, last one of this year. See you in 2010.